Numbers chapter 15. By the way, I always appreciate the music. I know from experience that not everybody sings, and that's your problem, not mine. I'm so thankful for those who do, and what it does for us, and be able to express ourselves in music to the Lord, and to do it corporately. It just is marvelous to sing out, hear others sing out, and I've got the best seat in the house. Oh, I sit right in front of Carrie, and I can't hear anything else. No, I can distinguish her voice, but you really do. I get the full fledge of the piano right next to me, and all that, and just it's a beauty to the ears to hear. Numbers chapter 15, and my title this morning is Sabbath Sticks. Sabbath Sticks, okay? Book of Numbers chapter 15, and I'm going to start in verse number 22, Numbers chapter 15. And you'd find your way to verse number 22. It says, "And if ye have erred and not observed all these commandments which the Lord hath spoken unto Moses, even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that the Lord commanded Moses and henceforward among your generations, then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering, his drink offering, according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance." By the way, these verses teach us that all Israelites were Baptists. You'll figure that out after a while. Verse number 27. It says, "If any soul sin through ignorance, then you shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. The priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among you. But the soul that doeth ought presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off; his iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. They put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. We have the privilege to enter this house one with another. We pray for your spirit to move upon hearts. Lord, we long for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Sabbath sticks. Interesting. When we look here in this text, we find that there are two radically different sins that are dealt with. First of all, in verses 22 through 29, we find that he is dealing with the sin of ignorance. That's dealt with, by the way, previously in Numbers chapter 5 and 6. But it's an act of unknown sin by the committing person. In this case, it's referring not really to the person, but to the entire nation. Think about it in this way. When the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cross of Calvary, what did he say to them? Father, forgive them for what? They know not what they do. Now think of this for a moment. Back in the Old Testament, we find that there's a law that says, thou shalt not kill. Is that not true? It is a commandment from God. And so the thing of murder of one person to another is absolutely declared in the Old Testament. But there's a sin of ignorance that those people would have concerning that, because when you get to the New Testament, the Lord said that if we look on a brother with hatred, we have what? Committed murder. And so Old Testament didn't say anything about it, so it would be a sin of ignorance unto them. Now we also find that there is a sin of presumption in verse number 30 and 31. And this is one that presumes that he is right no matter what God or anyone else says or thinks. They presume that they know it all. Now, personally, I have met two different types of people that I've had to deal with in this category. One of them, believe it or not, is students. Many times there are students that presume that they are right and that the answer key is wrong. They presume that the teacher doesn't know what they're talking about and that they know everything. I've often wondered why they are in school. But nonetheless, that is their idea. It's a sin of presumption. I believe there's another group that I have to deal with many times in the past, and it's basically under the category of sinners. Sinners that presume that their way to God, their way to heaven, is right, though it be contrary with what God has revealed. Now, my Bible says, Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That sounds like it's pretty particular. It sounds to me like there is only one way to be saved, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we find that there are people, they believe that they've got it all figured out and that their way is the right way, a sin of presuming that they are right. Now, one is a person or group that realizes they have been wrong, while the other is the person that never believes that they are wrong. It is to this the last group here, the one guilty of presumption, that I would like to address some further remarks this morning. If we go back to the previous chapter that we look at in chapter 14, we find that there is a sin of presumption that's really laid out for us. We find that they did not believe the 10 spies out of the 12 who went into the promised land. And matter of fact, they believed the 10 spies rather than believing God. And so judgment is pronounced. In chapter 14, verse 27 says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. That sounds pretty demanding, do you not think so? God is saying to them, listen, because you did not believe me, you believed the 10 spies. If you're 20 years old or older, understand something. You're going to pay for it. He says, doubtless ye shall not come into the land which concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephthah and Joshua the son of Nun. They were the two spies that said, let's go get them. Now what we find is, a little while later in that chapter, they presumed that because they had saw themselves as wrong, that they had repented before God, that now they could go into the land. And so you read in verse number 41 where it says, "And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you." But what's it say? They presume to go up into the hilltop. Though God had pronounced judgment, though they decided that they would now go, God says, "Do not do so," and yet we find they presume that they can do so. When you go to the book of Deuteronomy, we find that Moses refers to this, and he says this in chapter 1, verse 43. "For I spake," or "so I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up the hill." By the way, they were defeated because of that sin. And the grievousness of this sin is basically this, and that is they have despised the word of God. Go with me now to chapter number 15 once again, and notice verse number 30, "But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously," in other words, he presumes he's right, "whether he be born in the land or a stranger," in other words, Jew or Gentile, "the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among the people." Notice what it says, "because he hath despised the word of the Lord, hath broken his commandments." That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And so we find the reason this sin is so terrible is because it is that which is a despite to the word of God. Then we come to verses 31 through 36. And I believe we find illustrated here this particular sin. For we find that here's a man on the Sabbath day goes out to pick up sticks, most likely to build a fire to cook his meal. But stop and think about it for a moment. Do we not find in the Word of God a command that says they were to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Do we not find that in that command he says, "In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy strangers within thy gates"? He made it very, very clear to them they were not to do anything on the Sabbath. They were to rest. It was to commemorate the rest that God did after his 6 days of creation. We also find that they had been specifically told in Exodus 16 not to gather manna on the seventh day. They were to gather enough on the sixth day to take care of their needs for the seventh day. But in spite of that, one man decides to gather sticks for a fire on the Sabbath day. He presumes that it is okay to do so. He presumes that his ideas are better than God's. And so these Sabbath sticks brought about his stoning. I ask the question this morning, what are your Sabbath sticks? In other words, what is more important to you than following God's will? What's more important than following the will of Almighty God? Let me this morning just think about a few things. Number one, not listening to the authority over you. We presume that we know it better than the authority that God placed over us. In Deuteronomy 17, verse number 12, it says, "And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priests that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God." He speaks of those who presume and they do not listen to the authority God has placed over them. Young people, understand something this morning. God has placed an authority in your life. They're called parents. The Bible says very specifically in Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It was one of the first verses that we taught our children, and that is, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. What that means is, you don't mind your parents, they're going to take you out. Well, they could. But there is an authority there, and you're to follow that authority. You say, well, I know better than they do. Let me tell you this, no, you don't. No, you don't. You're a smart aleck that needs a whipping. God gave you parents for a reason. They are your authority. And there are those who presume that they do not have to listen to mom and dad. It is a plague in our society today. It is overwhelming what is taking place in this area today. There's also pastoral authority. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, by the way, you find it written three times, but in verse number 17, it says it this way, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls that they must give account, that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God has placed in our churches around the world pastors, not that they are any better or any smarter, but they are placed in a position of authority. It does not mean they are better. Parents are not better. But God has placed in a position of authority. And I will also go with this, and I would simply call it princely authority, because I like to alliterate things. Parental authority, pastoral authority, and princely authority. The book of Romans, chapter number 13, says this, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. We have government in our land, and we're not to go against the laws of our land. Now, I understand we have a problem when those who are administering the laws are breaking the laws themselves. I understand when we have this problem, when those laws are going against the law of God. How many like to drive faster than the speed limit? The altar will be open after service. How many like going 25 in a 25 mile an hour speed limit? How many people like to go up and down Avenue Inn out here at 25 miles an hour? Anybody in here? Certainly don't ask my kids or grandkids. We don't particularly like that. How many like to get on the freeway and it says 55? I don't know about you, but I like South Dakota. It says 80. And of course, most people say, well, they allow you 5 or 10 miles more, so I can go 85 or 90. But God has placed these laws here for a reason. I don't know about you, but at a busy intersection, I like the fact that there are stop signs there. But if you don't obey the stop sign, somebody is going to probably get hurt. And so there's a purpose for it. And we are to what? We're to follow the laws that God has placed down for us. We have those for a reason. So I believe that some of the Sabbath sticks that we have is not listening to the authorities that God placed over us. I believe there's another one that is kind of peculiar in a sense. And that is the prophet that will not listen to God. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, it says, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have cannot, I have not commanded him to speak or shall speak in the name of other gods. Even that prophet shall die. Wow. In other words, preacher, you better preach God's word. Got to preach what he has to say. Oh, we can, I hate to use the word, but embellish upon it. We can try to make it more real in hearts and lives. But it's his word that's going to change lives. And so we must. And by the way, can we apply that to every individual that is commanded to take the gospel into all the world? It seems very well or very likely to do so. But one last thought I'd like to leave you with is this. I simply labeled it thus, the prayer of the righteous. In the book of Psalm chapter 19, the psalmist writes down his prayer. And he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. What's he praying for? To keep from sinning presumptuously. Keep from sinning because he just thinks it's right and does not get his authority straight on it. Now, I dealt with three authorities that are earthly authorities, but we have a much greater authority, and that is the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God that makes the Word of God very real to us. He's the author and the teacher of it. And so it be there that we listen and gain and go forward. And we find that that person is the upright one. And if we do not do so, we find it will always lead to judgment. Presuming that you are right will lead to judgment. I mentioned students a little earlier. I have known students who always presumed they were right, that for some reason ended up with D's and E's on their tests. They thought they were right, and they weren't. And judgment came hard. There have been sinners whom I have talked to about the Lord Jesus Christ who were dead set on their way being correct and are now in hell. Horrible place. The lost man that believes his method of salvation is better than God's is headed to hell. You see, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who we got to call on? The Lord. What will he do? He will save. It was probably 2 years after I got saved. Immediately afterwards, I got acquainted with a man that believed you could lose your salvation. And he made a lot of sense. And so I thought for almost 2 years I could lose my salvation. That was what they had. By the way, I don't know anybody with a heart that believes they can lose it. They always think everybody else can. And one day, I was with a man that we now support as a missionary. He's basically retired, but for many years took the gospel into the jungles of the Amazon River region. Brother Tom Peace. Brother Tom's a very simple man. You would not call him a scholar. He doesn't know the big words, nor does he care to. He's got a college degree. His wife's an RN. But just as plain can be. And I'm with him, he says, Jane, would you come here? We sat down, and he said this to me. If you died today, Would you go to heaven? I honestly didn't know the answer. I had been saved, but I was afraid I could lose it. And you know what he did? He opened his Bible up to the book of Romans chapter 10, the verse I just quoted to you. And he said, read that. It says, whosoever, he says, who's that? Does that include you? Yeah. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Have you done that, Gene? Yes, I have done that. What does it say he did? That shall be saved. Well, it doesn't say might be. It doesn't say if you hold out. Because, see, salvation is not up to you. You can't pay for it to start with, and you can't hold on to it yourself after you get it. He's the keeper. Aren't you glad of that? Good night. How many things have you lost this week? I was telling a story this week. My mother, bless her heart, she got up in years, she was still driving. My mother was teaching the entire city of Council Bluffs how to drive defensively. That was her goal in her latter years. And I'm in the old people's hardware store, and I run into her. And I'm shopping around. She left. And pretty soon she comes back in, and she's frantic. And she says, Gene, I've lost my keys. I don't know where they're at. I don't know what to do. You know those little things you can put around your wrist that look like a slinky? And they got a little thing you can put your keys on. There they were, like a bracelet hanging on her wrist. Boy, we forget things, don't we? We can't hold on to things. Aren't you glad that he is the keeper of your salvation? Amen. You got to get it first. And he makes sure that it sticks all the way. Father, today we thank you so much. Thank you, oh God, that you can forgive us. You can forgive us of those sins that we don't even know we're committing. We thank you, oh God, that we can't even be forgiven when we presume we're right if we'll repent and we'll look to you. Oh God, I pray that you would just work on hearts. No doubt there's some need. There's something that somebody needs to take care of today. Maybe it's to come to this altar and pray and ask for your forgiveness. Maybe it's to go to an individual in this room and do the same. Perhaps it's to ask God to give you strength to do what you haven't been doing and you know it's wrong. Lord, I pray you might bless and work in these moments, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.